Well, a new semester brings a lot of decisions, a lot of opportunities. What am I going to study? Which classes am I going to sign up for? Which teachers, professors, instructors am I going to take? Who will my friends be? Who will I become between now and December, between now and May? And while we recognize that not everyone in this room is a college student or an incoming student, we recognize that every season of life brings similar opportunities. And for each, really one decision rules them all. This is the choice that will dictate all of the other choices. And that is the one that Joshua invited the children of Israel to make there in Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose this day whom you will serve. But he goes on to say at the end of the verse, as for me and my family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua recognizes that this was a period of transition for these people. In fact, by the end of the chapter, Joshua, the fearless leader, the one who has taken over after Moses' death, is going to be dead himself. We find in Joshua 24, verse 29. These people now in the promised land are going to have to figure out how to live in this new place. And Joshua says, you've got to decide. Are you going to revert to some of the characteristics of your ancestors? Are you going to acquiesce to the characteristics of the people who already inhabited this land? Or are you going to do the thing that you know you should do? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. See, Joshua recognizes that something is going to come first. Something is going to have to come first. It's not whether Israel would serve, it was whom they would serve. Because Joshua understood the thing that every one of us should get. Everyone. Everyone serves something. Someone. In Romans chapter 6, Paul makes the statement around verses 17 and following that you have to choose. Are you going to present your bodies as instruments to be slaves to sin and therefore to condemnation, to eternal death? Or are you going to choose to present yourself as an instrument toward righteousness, towards obedience, and therefore to righteousness? But something's going to come first, and you have to make the choice. Achievement? Approval, pleasure, relationships, success, personal freedoms. These things are pretty good gifts, but they're terrible gods. What's going to come first? And to fail to make an intentional decision is to allow life to make the decision on its own, and that won't work out well. How can we identify what our highest priorities are? Here are four questions that may help you. What receives the very best of my time? Notice I'm not asking what receives the most of my time. I'm saying what receives the best of my time. When I'm at my best, what am I thinking about? What am I doing? What am I working toward? What most controls my emotions? What am I most afraid of losing? What am I unwilling to surrender? Maybe you know Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus doesn't say, fit the kingdom into your life where it works. He doesn't say, work it in where you think you can. He says, seek it above everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm telling you this morning, something is coming first in your life. It's not a matter of something will come first. I'm saying right now, there's something first in your life. And the question you have to answer, just like the question I have to answer is what Jesus says ought to be first, really first in my life? Is Jesus really first in my life? Is He the reason why I do the things that I do? See, this morning, don't merely make Jesus a part of your life. Make Jesus the center of your life. Don't merely make Jesus a part of your semester, students. Make Jesus the center of your semester. Don't merely work him in on Sundays and if you get around to it on Wednesdays. Don't reserve him for your Bible classes this semester. Don't wait around until you see people that you think might hold you to a higher standard before you begin to pretend as though Jesus is first in your life. Make him everything. Something is coming first. The question I'm asking you today is it the Lord? Is it the Lord? Joshua understood something will come first. And Joshua also understood that we have to decide what's going to come first before the pressures come. Choose this day whom you will serve. Here we are, Joshua says. We're at a deciding point. We're at a fork in the road. Which way are you going to go? Now we're here. We've received the fulfillment of the promises that God made, and there's still more work to be done. There's no doubt about it, but you have to decide. And I want you to decide right now, before the temptations come, before you're invited to be a part of something else, before you find yourself having to scratch your head and say, what am I going to do? Before the deadline reaches its end, before the crisis arrives. You know, when we become Christians, aren't we saying that not only do we want to receive the salvation that can only be found through the blood of Jesus and our uniting with him in his death and burial and resurrection to rise to walk in a new life, but look at that. I'm saying I want to walk in a new life. Jesus, this isn't a one and done thing that I'm going to leave in the waters of baptism. Instead, you are now my life. And that's what Paul says in Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. If you've been raised with Christ, which is to say, since you've been baptized into Christ and you've risen with him, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Because you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, we also will appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. You have to decide that before the moments come that will make you question it. You have to decide that before the temptations arise. Decide right now, I'm going to worship with the church every Lord's Day. I'm going to assemble for Bible classes with God's people every opportunity I have. Some folks in this room hadn't made that decision. Something's coming first in your life. Choose. And choose today before the friction comes. Decide now, I'm going to make room in my life for Scripture and for prayer. I don't know how you are, but I don't always just wake up before my alarm clock just for fun. You know, now as I'm getting a little older, the story is changing a little bit. This is weird. I don't like this. But anyway, you know, I set the clock for the time that I know I have to get up for the things that I know I have to do. And as I go throughout living my day, I'm in charge of the way all those blocks are going to fit together in terms of my time. And sometimes there are things that may jerk me around a little bit. You know, I have to do this. I have to give my attention to that. I have appointments that have to be kept. And there are some unexpected things that arise. But I'm in charge of that day. Am I making room in my life to talk to God every day in prayer and to let God talk to me every day through his word? I've got to decide to do that before the pressure comes. Decide now, I will seek Christian friendships. I need people in my life who can help me to be what Jesus wants me to be. Decide right now, I will set good boundaries that protect my spiritual health. I'm not going to cross into areas that I shouldn't cross. I'm going to make sure that I am honoring the Lord and I'm going to maintain those boundaries that will honor him. And I will not sacrifice my faith to fit in. And I will not sacrifice my faith to get ahead. And I will not sacrifice my faith to have fun. And I know that I'm not always going to do it right. And when I fall, I'm deciding right now, when I fall, I will run to Jesus rather than from him. People spend a long time trying to run away from Jesus, trying to pretend as though the consequences of Scripture aren't there, or maybe that maybe the Lord will have, you know, some forgetfulness about him, that if I just stay away long enough, then like people tend to do, you know, they say time heals all wounds. I found that doesn't necessarily happen. But anyway, that maybe it'll be the same with Jesus. And after a while, he'll say, oh, that was a long time ago. You know, let bygones be bygones. That I'm going to run to Jesus, not from him. I'm going to receive that welcome back home that Matt talked about in his wonderful communion thoughts this morning. Decide before the pressures come. Because if you don't establish your priorities, the pressures of life, students, the pressures of the semester will. Things are going to come in. And the reality is, what does not get scheduled does not get done. A priority that never affects your schedule is probably just a good intention. And good intentions are a great place to begin, but good intentions do not always execute unless I'm willing to put something down, unless I'm willing to say, this is a decision that I have made. And that's what Joshua is calling on this people to do. I don't know if they have calendars that were personal calendars, but I know this. He said, you got to choose today whom you're going to serve. And then he led the way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I said a moment ago that this is a decision that shapes everything else. And that's true. See, when I choose to set the kingdom first, then that's not saying that Jesus and his kingdom are in this first compartment, and then I put another block under here that is something else that's important, family or close relationships, and then school or job or whatever. What I'm saying is this is a decision that has bearings on all of the others. That's kind of what Jesus is saying in context there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He's saying, don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your clothing, what you're going to put on. There are a lot of people in life that are anxious about these things, but as for you, you know that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then because you're aware of his blessings and you trust his promises, you can be sure all the rest of these things will be added unto you. That's the context of Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And then he says, don't borrow tomorrow's troubles, because sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. There's plenty of things to stress about tomorrow. And for that matter, there's plenty of things for me to stress about today without me borrowing from tomorrow's troubles. But don't you think that's what Joshua is getting at here in Joshua 24? Don't just say, okay, you know, when I establish my new home here in Canaan, I'm not going to put idols in there. I mean, that's a good place to start, okay? And some of them had trouble even obeying that very simple command. But it's beyond that. It's saying my whole life is shaped around God. And that has bearings on what I do in my life. I pursue excellence without making achievement my identity. My identity is in Christ. But as a Christian, I'm going to do the very best I can. Whatever your hand finds to do, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because his kingdom is first and Jesus is first, I'm going to choose friends who are going to strengthen my faith. Because Jesus is first, I'm going to treat my body with honor. And for that matter, I'm going to think about others with honor. Because Jesus is first, I'm going to see my time and my money as resources that are to be stewarded. Because Jesus is first, I'm going to view my abilities as opportunities to serve. I'm going to measure success by faithfulness, not merely by recognition. Before a decision is made, I can ask myself, does this honor Jesus? Will this strengthen my faith or will this weaken my faith? Is this consistent with the person that Christ is calling me to become? That's what it means to make a decision like the one Joshua called the people to make in Joshua 24. That's what it means to, as we would say under the law of Christ today, to let the kingdom shape every part of my life. Jesus is reigning. And his reign on his throne is evidenced through my life being controlled and ordered by his will. His kingdom should be the priority that orders everything else. Can I tell you a secret? Even at Freed Hardeman University, even in Henderson, Tennessee, there are competing priorities. Even in a place as great as our little town, there are things that will compete for the throne. I'm asking you this morning to make a choice. And I'm asking you to make it preemptively before the things crowd around. Although for all of us, there are things that are seeking to be a voice that is competing with the voice of God through His Word. Absolutely. Christ's kingdom should be the priority that orders everything else. And the last thing I want to say to you this morning from what I learned from Joshua 24 is that Joshua encourages us to make this decision with other people. Don't just make it privately. Make it with others. I know what he means, I think, when he says, as for me and my house. I think Joshua's stepping up as the leader of his home, and he's saying, for me and my family, this is the direction. And I think that's a great example for dads. You know, dads, we're going to step up and lead those who are under our influence in the best way that we can. And frankly, we need more of that. We need more of that in the world. We need more of that in the country. We need more of that in the state of Tennessee. We need more of that in Henderson. And for that matter, we need more of it in the Lord's church as well. Men who are willing to stand up and to lead their families for God. I can tell you what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. But what if we turn that a little bit and look at it from this perspective as well? Joshua's not making his decision in isolation. Joshua's not setting a private goal to which no one can hold him accountable. Joshua's not saying, well, I'm going to try this, and if I can do it well, I might go public with it. First of all, Joshua's got a proven track record. He's an amazing leader of God's people, and it's a feat in and of itself to be the leader chosen by God to succeed Moses over the children of Israel. That's a huge thing. But Joshua says, I'm going to do this in the presence of others. Listen, don't make a mistake about it. Following Jesus is a thing that you have to choose to do. It is a personal decision, but it was never intended to be private. It was never intended to be isolated. And so, students, may I encourage you and even plead, find a church family. I love the Henderson church family. I may be a little biased, but it'd be weird if I weren't, right? But I'm here to tell you, there are all sorts of congregations of God's people. By that I mean those who are following the New Testament pattern, and they're all over Henderson and Chester County and neighboring counties. And they're serving Jesus, and I'm grateful for them, and we're in fellowship with them, and we love them. But by saying find a church family, I'm not necessarily trying to strong-arm anybody into thinking that you have to be here or you can't serve Jesus, okay? I'm saying we're eager to be that for you. If you're going to make a decision to follow God, you need to make that decision with other people. And don't fall into the trap of attending the Box Springs Church of Christ on Sunday mornings. That means you slept in. That's what that means. Box Springs. Is it foam now, the mattresses? I don't know. Foam church, it doesn't have the same ring to it. What I'm saying is you need people who can help you. Just like I need people who can help me. I've received an encouragement from this worship service this morning that I would not have received if I weren't here today. The singing, the prayers, the communion thoughts, the thoughts that preceded our offering. And now, from God's Word, as it was read a moment ago, and as I'm trying to preach it to you, I can't get that at the house. I can't get it on Monday unless we happen to get together on Monday. And of course, our Lord's Day worship's unique anyway. You need to make this decision with a church family. And you need to let people know who you are. You need to allow them to encourage you. You need to allow them to teach you. You need to allow them to hold you accountable. But realize this as well, okay? It's not all about you either. Be there to encourage. Be there to hold accountable. Be there to invest. Be there to give as well as to receive. And that's what makes a family healthy. And that is what equips us for the Lord to help us grow. To the rest of us, boy, we've got all these students who are here now, and there's a few parents, I think, who are in the room as well, and their eyes are a little misty this morning, and we understand that too. And we need to be here to help these students to follow Jesus, don't we? We need to learn their names. We need to invite them to our homes. We need to encourage them and pray for them and become part of the spiritual family that they need, because everybody, all of us, need people. We all need God's people around us who will help us to keep our greatest commitment. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choose today. The best decision that you will make this semester will not be selecting a major. The best decision you make this semester will not be selecting a class or being a part of a social club or even a career path. It'll be deciding. Jesus is first. He's above all. Jesus, you are all to us. Did you mean it when you sang it? You sounded like you did. It'll be that the kingdom is my priority. It'll be that everything else is under Him. So yeah, I want to think about my major. But I want to choose my major thinking about how I can use the talents that God has given me to be a blessing to other people and to shine His light through whatever I do. Yeah, I want to choose the right classes. I want to be in a social club, but I want to make sure that I'm doing that in a way that is clear. Jesus is influencing what I'm doing and how I'm doing the things that I am doing. This isn't merely a decision for freshmen or for new students. It's the decision that every disciple has made and must continually make, that we must renew in every new season of life. There are opportunities ahead of us that could change everything. A semester can change your schedule. A university can shape your thinking. New relationships can influence your future. But when Jesus comes first, He shapes the person you're becoming, who you are, and also the hope, the future that awaits. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. If you're not a Christian, why don't you choose the Lord today? Through faith in Him, turn from your sins in repentance. Confess His name. Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. I don't know if you came today thinking that you would do that. Maybe you did, but even if you didn't, if you realize that's what you need to do, if you understand this message of the gospel where Jesus is pleading with you to come to Him and you can't be saved from your sins unless you do that, then why would you wait? Do it today. Make the choice today whom you will serve. Maybe you've drifted away from that choice, or maybe this season of new beginnings has presented itself to you as a good opportunity for you to be transformed. Not reinvent yourself, but instead for God to transform your heart. For you to say, I'm not going to live that way anymore. The choice is yours. Choose for yourself today. And do it together with all of us who will encourage you and support you and hold you accountable toward that choice. If we can help you make that decision this morning, come to the front while we stand and sing.